Go to Psalm chapter 81. Psalm chapter 81. This may end up being a two-part message, but we'll see how it goes. Because we're going to talk on the subject of prayer and really being committed to prayer. It's something that is part of our life. It's something we're all familiar with. It's something we know how to do. But we can always do better, because prayer is our time of fellowship with our Savior. It's our time of fellowship with our God. It's our time to draw closer to Him and really to become more like Him the more time we spend with Him, and always just knowing we can come to the Lord at any given time, cast our cares upon Him. But the main focus of prayer is just not always getting and receiving, but it really is just spending that quality time with the one who loved us so much that he came to die on the cross for our sins so that we would have life and have it more abundantly. So talking on the subject of prayer tonight, I tell you what, let's start at verse number 1 and we'll read down to verse number 10. So Psalm chapter 81, sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed, on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel, and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony, when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Verse 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the day that you've blessed us with, the day that you have brought us through up to this point, Father, and we trust you'll continue leading us throughout this day and into tomorrow. But Father, thank you for bringing us here, Lord, at this hour tonight to spend time with God's people before our God, Lord, singing praise unto you. And Father, just sitting at your feet, wanting to hear from heaven, wanting you to speak to our hearts, wanting you to establish our thoughts, guiding us according to your will. And we do thank you that we can have the confidence that you do have a perfect will for each of our lives, and that perfect will includes you being a part of it. So, Father, thank you for being a part of our life. Thank you for allowing us to become the sons of God, to become the children of God by your power, because of your love, and for your grace. Father, we ask that you would please bless our time as we talk about the topic of prayer. I pray, Lord, as it's something that we're familiar with, help us, Lord, just to listen intently, as you do want to speak to our hearts about the subject. And I pray, Father, that you would draw us closer to you, for we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Very quickly, I want you to flip over to Philippians chapter 4. If you would, keep a finger in Psalm, but go to Philippians chapter 4. And looking at verse number 6, I just want to see Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6, as we get into the topic of really committed to prayer, or committing to prayer, because We know what prayer is. We know what it is about. We know what we can do in prayer, right? Casting our cares upon the Lord, requesting things that we need, because Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock, all part of prayer. But how often are we truly committed to prayer? Because it's not just coming to God and, okay, throwing up some words to God and asking some things, you know, in faith, knowing that, you know, that God will answer our prayers, and we believe by faith that he will and that he hears us and knows our needs and our desires. But how often do we actually commit ourselves to prayer? And that's really what I want us to think about tonight as we will go through some subjects on being committed to prayer. But in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, the Bible says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Again, just reminding us what you already know is that when you pray, you are praying to someone who hears you, someone who sees you, someone who knows you, someone who has the answer, and even has shoulders big enough to carry your burden. All right, so sometimes we do get into routines. That's one of the downfalls of being a human, is we find ourselves just getting into a routine because we're just used to it. I use church service as an example often because if you're in church long enough, you know what the routine is for the church service. You know how many songs are going to be sung. You know when the prayer, when the offering, you just know how the service runs, because honestly, as humans, we like things to be repetitious. We like things to be the same, all right? Sometimes we want something different, right? Not as far as doctrine, Bible doctrine, but when you think about just our prayer life, it can become so routine that we put no thought into it, we put no heart into it, we're really not committed to it, we just offer up whatever it is we need, whatever our need is, we just offer it up. And I think really that's one reason why Jesus said of Mary, when Martha came to Jesus and said, you know, bid my sister to come help me, Martha was all cumbered about with much serving. She was just overloaded. She was stressed out, pressed out of measure, looking at someone that should be helping her. And she wasn't happy, but Jesus said that Mary had chosen the better part. Now, what Martha was doing was not bad. She was trying to make a good supper for Jesus. They had invited him into their home. She was trying to be a good hostess, but she allowed what she was doing to take precedence over what Mary had chosen, and Mary had chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. Listen to what Jesus had to say. And that's why I said sometimes we fall into that routine of prayer. We know what to do and we just kind of go to God in prayer and we ask what we need or we cast our cares upon him without really thinking about it. And Mary had chose the better part. She sat. She listened. She sat and listened in his presence. She was attentive to what Jesus had to say, because let's not forget that when we do go to God in prayer, he wants to talk too. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody where you never could get a word in? Even when you try to, and you just learn to just let them talk because you're not going to get a word in, right? Well, the Lord is like that. The Lord waits until we want to listen. And when we basically say, like Samuel said when he's a little boy, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, then the Lord speaks. Because the Lord does, he wants to have that conversation back and forth. It may be, well, he brings up a verse to our mind, Holy Spirit lays something upon our heart, but it is a time of fellowship, it's a time of communion with the Lord. As we go to him, you know, for whatever it is we need, whatever we need the Lord's help with, or just wanting to, you know, spend some time with the Lord because you feel spiritually just, you know, run down, and you know that in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy, being in the Lord's presence. So let's not forget that when we do go to God in prayer, We are going to God, who sees us, who knows us, who wants to help us, who wants to carry the load, who wants to give us the wisdom that we need, and wants to guide our steps and show us the way that we are to walk. All right? The direction that we're looking for. So Jesus said this in Matthew 24, 35. He said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." So it reminds us that what God has to say, his words stand strong and they will stand the test of time. His words are words of pure wisdom and counsel that we need. In Psalm 34, David said this, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." I'm glad that, you know what, we don't have to verbally speak words for God to hear us. I'm glad that he knows our thoughts. I'm glad he knows our hearts. But again, he does want to hear us speak. But I'm glad that those times where we just can't, because as David says, this poor man cried. There's just times in our life where, you know what, all we can do is cry and we make no sense with the words that we're trying to, you know, muster up. Yet the Lord knows the words that are in our heart. So again, being committed to prayer is being committed to God, the very one who will strengthen us spiritually and will help us to be at peace and to have confidence in him. First thing I want us to think about, though, in regards to being committed to prayer is it does start with preparing our hearts. It starts with preparing our hearts. In Psalm 66 and verse 18, the psalmist wrote, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." So in preparing our hearts to come to God in prayer, we have to be on the constant guard of our fellowship with the Lord, guarding our fellowship. Again, believing what God said, that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord's not going to hear me. And I want God to hear me when I come to him in prayer. I don't want to have to spend hours trying to, you know, confess sin and try to figure out, why does it feel like my prayers are not going above the ceiling? Why does it feel like I don't feel the presence of God in the room with me? Because you know what? You should feel the presence of God. You won't feel the presence of God all the time. But again, when you have that mindset, I'm coming before the true living God, my Lord and Savior, I think you will feel his presence. You'll feel a sense of his presence, because that's your mindset. That's my mindset. That's our faith, is that I'm coming before God, and God wants to fellowship with us. God wants us to feel his presence, because I don't know about you, but it encourages me to feel God's presence. It gives me a little more confidence, because it's kind of like this. Like I said, you've talked to people before that you can't get an inch in. You can't get a word in the conversation, right? But how do you feel when they finally recognize that they haven't let you talk and they stop and say, "I'm sorry, I've been dominating the conversation the whole time. I'm sorry. What do you have to say?" And they actually give you the opportunity. You're like, you take it, right? You feel like, well, they're acknowledging me. And that's the way it is with the Lord. He wants us to acknowledge his presence, because he acknowledges us when we come in before him, when we come before the throne of grace. In Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this about God. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sin have hid his face from you that he will not hear." Again, just always being mindful that, you know what, I am coming in before the presence of God, and I want to make sure that, you know what, I'm not harboring any sin. You know what, I got mad at somebody today, whatever it may be, I got mad at somebody, and you know what, I probably shouldn't have got mad. Lord, please forgive me. Right? Anything that we do that's contrary to God, that is sin, that's not right, it is a hindrance to our prayer. It's a hindrance to us coming before God, because Remember, we're not just coming before a person, we're coming before a holy God. A holy God who died for our sins, washed us in the blood of the Lamb, so we could even come into his presence. Do you remember why the veil was rent from top to bottom in the temple when Jesus cried out, "It is finished"? And he gave up the ghost? Because through the death of Christ, the way was made open for people to come straight to God. No longer having to rely on a priest to go into the Holy of Holies with blood and, you know, not just for the people, but for himself too. Now, because of the death of Christ, you and I have the privilege to go straight to God. Now, it's a wonderful thing, though, to ask somebody to pray for you and they pray for you on your behalf. But I'm glad I don't have to go to someone and say, "Hey, can you take my prayer request up to God? Because I know he'll hear you, he won't hear me." No, because Jesus made the way open. Again, committing ourselves to prayer by preparing our hearts, making sure that there is no unconfessed sin. There's no anger, there's no unforgiveness towards somebody, right? We haven't committed something willingly. Again, we're sinners saved by grace. I understand that. But you know what? Many times I go to prayer and I ask the Lord, "Lord, show me if I've done something that maybe I didn't know I did." Because I really want to make sure that, you know what, I have a sweet fellowship time with you. So when you think about just guarding our fellowship with the Lord, it's all about confessing sin. All right, confessing sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Remember, being committed to prayer is being committed to God, who knows everything about you and me. He knows everything. I still laugh to this day when I read in the Gospels and Jesus is sitting and he commits a miracle, or even when those four friends lowered their friend down in front of Jesus and Jesus saw their faith and said to the man who had the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven." And the Bible says that when Jesus said that, the Pharisees that were there were thinking within themselves, "How can this man forgive sins? Only God can do that." It's like he knew their thoughts because he would talk to them about their thoughts, and they still didn't get it. "Wait a minute, we didn't say that. How did he know what I was thinking?" Because he's God. So again, reminding us, you know, never forget that God does know everything about us. He knows what's heavy upon our heart. He knows what's really, you know, taking up our thoughts. That's why we can come before God. God wants us to, but he wants us to be committed to the fellowship that, you know what, God, if there's something not right that I'm not seeing or I've forgotten about, please show me, because I don't want my relationship with you to be hindered anyway. Because, Lord, I really want to have that sweet fellowship. And when we have that sweet fellowship with God, it does extend to those around us, all right? So, again, confessing our sins is a way of preparing our hearts and guarding our fellowship with the Lord. A couple more verses in regards to confessing our sins. Joshua 7, verse 19 says this, "And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel." Remember, Achan is the one that stole the wedge of gold, the Babylonian garment, from the city of Jericho when God told Joshua, and Joshua told the people, that the whole city was to be burned. Nothing was to be kept back. It was all to be burned as a sacrifice to God because it was the first battle of the Promised Land and it belonged to the Lord. But Achan is the one that committed sin. And Joshua, again, going before God and God telling him, look, there's sin in the camp. So God helps Joshua one by one to kind of whittle it down to one man. He took the different tribes. He focused on one tribe. Then he focused on a family in that tribe and then down to the man being Achan. "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the God of Israel and make confession unto him and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." It wasn't hidden from God, but it was hidden from Joshua. Joshua didn't know beforehand, because if you remember this account, they defeated Jericho, and then they went to the city of Ai, and they couldn't defeat it. In fact, thousands of Israelites died. And Joshua falls on his face before God, not knowing why this happened, knowing they had victory, but then they didn't have victory. And God tells Joshua, get up, because there's sin in the camp. God knew who it was, what they did, but he wanted Joshua as the leader to seek it out. And God revealed it. All right, Mark chapter 9, verse 28 says this, and when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now this account listed is when that father had his son that was possessed, and the father, remember, came to Jesus. Jesus said, you believe I can do this? The father says, I believe, but help mine unbelief. Well, he first had gone to the disciples who Jesus had given power to heal the lame, to cleanse the lepers, to heal the sick and all this, cast out demons. But when this father came, they couldn't do it. So the disciples asked him later, why couldn't we help this man? Because they knew they had been doing it before, but Jesus says this specific sin, this specific demonic oppression in this person's life, he says, you have to be really prayed up and fasting. Do you realize even today for us Christians in the 21st century, fasting is still important? Because fasting is just denying yourself what yourself wants for a period of time. Now, there's no mandate for how long to fast. Some people, you know, just fast for a day, you know, just not you know, doing anything that they normally would do. Here's an example. Remember King Darius? He was tricked into signing a decree that nobody could pray for 30 days to any god except to King Darius. Because King Darius was not a Christian. He was a heathen king. It was all about, you know, self-worship, because he was the king. And he wasn't thinking about Daniel, someone who was faithful in serving King Darius, who was a friend to King Darius. King Darius, he signed the decree, right? Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den. But do you remember what King Darius did the whole night after he threw Daniel and had Daniel thrown in the lion's den? Because he couldn't go back on the law. He had to be the right judge and pass that condemnation down to Daniel. The Bible says that King Darius didn't drink. He didn't have music played. I mean, his normal nightly routine of just indulging in himself, he didn't do it the whole night. He refused because his heart was set on Daniel, because it grieved him that he was tricked into signing that law and having Daniel thrown in the lion's den. And guess what? You already know, he goes early in the morning, as soon as the sun rises, he goes to the den of lions, and Daniel's alive. Again, it's just, fasting is when you and I really need God, and we really need an answer to prayer, that, you know what, we just spend some time. Again, I think the Holy Spirit guides each person on how long they need to fast. But I think it starts with us being committed to prayer, that I need the answer from God so bad that, you know what, I'm not going to do my normal routine. I'm going to not watch television for the night or for the day. I'm not going to, you know, drink my soda that I normally drink throughout the day. Whatever it is, whatever it is, our normal routine, we're like, you know what, I'm laying all that aside because I need God. I need an answer to this. Because if a heathen king can do it, man, I don't, let's not let some heathen king show up God's people who he believed in fasting, and he fasted, and it seems like God answered his prayer because Daniel was alive, all right? So again, there's just times where when we really have to seek God, and we don't see, put it this way, you will know, because I, again, think about Paul being a man of prayer, Paul being a man of fasting. You can read that in his letters where he talks about fasting. He talks about praying. And yet he had one prayer request that God would not change for him. And that was that thorn in the flesh. Now, I believe that God gives answers to our prayers, either yes or no. But if it seems like we're not getting an answer, where, you know what, I can't tell if God's saying yes or no, it might be that, you know what, we need to fast to get an answer. But then when the answer comes, whether it's yes or no, okay, we accept the answer from God, and we, whatever the answer is, we deal with it, all right? But again, it does. We really do have to guard our fellowship with the Lord and confess our sin. Again, if we're really committed to prayer, again, I think as we go to prayer, the Holy Spirit's already bringing to our mind something that, hey, you know what, you probably need to confess that. You probably need to ask the Lord for forgiveness, all right? Second thing I want us to think about, besides preparing our hearts, is that we need to prepare our lives. And it kind of goes in hand. If our heart is prepared, it's going to spill over in our life, and our life will be prepared. But in these ways, these four different ways. Number one, praying sincerely. Praying sincerely. If the heart is prepared, our prayers will be in sincerity. James 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. As God's people, we should see our prayers always answered in one way or another. And we should be committed to our prayer life again because it's part of our relationship with God. Now, our life really is only as busy, because sometimes we use that as an excuse, so I'm just too busy to spend, you know, 30 minutes, an hour in prayer. Our lives are only as busy as we allow them to be. We may have to put social media down. We may have to put the internet down. Whatever it is that takes up the majority of our time, again, we may have to set it aside so that we can earnestly and sincerely pray to our God. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That's not just those that are lost and unsaved, but God's people as well that are doing evil. That, again, that's why we go back to point number one, confessing sin, all right? Confessing things that we know are wrong, and not just confessing, but putting them aside. Book of Hebrews, right? We're to lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, because God truly does want to do great and mighty things in our lives. But praying sincerely goes right back to being committed to prayer, because I'm committed to the one I'm praying to because he is committed to me. He committed his life for me, and he continues to commit his Holy Spirit to me, helping me to live this life, helping me to rely upon him. But not only praying sincerely, but praying obediently. Praying obediently. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 says this, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. Right? Again, the Christian is to keep the word of God. It's to keep the commandments of God. Jesus said that if we love him, we'll keep his commandments. All right? There are those that think they can disregard the commandments of Christ, disregard the word of God, and live contrary and still expect God to bless them because they're a child of God. Well, I got news. As a parent, if I have one son, one child, doesn't matter son or daughter, if I have one child who seems to be obedient and seems to do everything that I ask, no questions asked, but then I have another child that's always rebelling against what I say, always testing me, who am I going to be more eager to bless? The one who's faithful, the one who is obedient, right? I mean, you try to work with the one who's not, right? Because as a parent, you love both of them, but you're going to be more eager to reward the one who does right. It's the same way with God. Now, God's not a respecter of persons, but as a heavenly Father, that's why when we get to heaven, it's not going to be the world system where everybody's a winner, everybody gets the same amount of rewards. No. You read the Bible and God, some people will have many crowns, some will have few crowns, some won't even have any crowns because they didn't live their life for the Lord. They didn't grow in their relationship with Christ. All right? So again, when you think about just being committed to prayer, it really does. Praying sincerely to the one that you know, sees you, knows you, can answer your prayer, can do anything for you. We pray obediently because the Lord said that if we ask, right, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. We're obedient to the word of God. But also praying relationally. Again, it's a relationship, right? There's nothing wrong with the cross. There's nothing wrong with having a necklace and it's the cross. Or a tie tack, that's the cross. But that's not what we pray to. When I opened up the service in prayer, we didn't bow down before the cross. We opened our hearts to the Lord. Because it's God. It's not an object. It's not a statue. It's not a necklace. It's a relationship with someone who has eyes to see, ears to hear, a mouth to speak, arms to save and to help. Again, life gets busy, and as humans, we sometimes get stuck in routines, and we have to break the habit of a routine prayer and remind ourselves it's a relationship. It's a relationship with a loving Heavenly Father, right? Jesus said in John 15:7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. The Lord says, if my words abide in you, well, the Bible tells us in Colossians, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. So you know what? We can't even have a proper prayer life apart from Bible reading and Bible meditation. It all goes hand in hand. Again, you know, some people try to only focus on reading their Bible. Some are only focused on prayer, right? But we have to be focused on both because they go hand in hand. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. All right? So when you think about just being committed to prayer, we do have to prepare our hearts by guarding our relationship, our fellowship with the Lord, preparing our lives through proper praying, just praying sincerely and all of that. And again, as our heart, it doesn't matter what age we are, it doesn't matter how long we've been saved, it's still a relationship that we have to guard and protect, not letting anything hinder our prayer life with the Lord, not letting anything disrupt it. Because again, the devil knows there's power in prayer. He knows there's comfort to the believer in prayer. He knows that, you know what? We get strength from prayer because we can cast our care upon the Lord. Whatever it seems to be weighing us down, we can say, Lord, here, you carry it. Because he tells us to, right? Because he didn't design us to carry the weight, right? We did that before salvation, carrying the weight of sin in our life from birth to the moment we received Christ, carrying the load of sin. And the Lord died for that. And the moment you asked Christ to save you, he took that load off, right? Nailing our sins to his cross, right? The whole, whatever your life entailed, the moment you accepted Christ as your Savior, it was taken off of your account and nailed to Jesus' account. So he took that load off. He doesn't want us to carry a load. He wants us to walk with him, walk in sync with the Lord. Third thing I want you to think about is that we have to be prepared in faith. Committed to prayer by being prepared in faith, believing that I am coming to someone who knows what I'm going to ask before I ask, and he's already got the answer. He's already got the way that he wants me to walk. He's got it all, right? You and I have to possess that faith. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Again, he's speaking to the Father again. That Father who came to Jesus. And Jesus said, if thou believe. And the Father will respond the next verse, if you read it, I believe, but help mine unbelief. You know what? We don't like people to know our weaknesses. We don't like people to know our failures, right? Whether we're ashamed of them or whatever, you know, we just, well, if they know everything about me, they're not going to want to be my friend. They're not going to want to talk to me. So, but we can't treat God like that because he already knows. So again, coming to God by faith that, you know what? I can't hide anything from God. I can't pretend with God. God knows me better than anybody. God even knows me so good that he knows what I'm going to do before I even think about doing it. That is God. He is sovereign. So again, possessing that faith that, you know what? I can just have faith when I come to the Lord that he's already got it. Do you know who the enemy is of prayer? The devil. Because guess what? Adam and Eve didn't ask God before they ate the forbidden fruit. Eve, when she was tricked by the devil, and she did not, you know, when the devil left her, she did not ask God about what the conversation was she had with the devil. The devil said, you know, yea hath God said, questioning what God said. Oh, no, God knows that, you know, as soon as you eat the fruit, you'll be just like him and all of that. She didn't question it. She didn't ask God. There was a time in Joshua's life where he didn't ask the wisdom of God when he was met with some men who were pretending to be from a far country and even had moldy bread and broken wine bottles and their clothes were tattered. They were pretending to be from a far country, and Job just took them for their word. He just looked at them and said, oh yeah, they're from a far country. But then the very next city that he went to, that was their city, and he had promised them in the name of the Lord, as the Lord liveth, we will not destroy your city if we come to it. So guess what? Joshua and all the other men, they were trapped in there by their words. They could not fulfill God's command of destroying all the countries, all the nations that were in the Canaan land, all the different people. All right? So, listen, no matter what it is, you and I do have to always take it to prayer, even if it's something simple, even if it's something that we have faced before, because let's just face it, we're just quick to make our own decisions. Well, God's given, I've heard people say this, well, God gave you a brain. Yes, he did. He gave me a brain to think. I need him. I need his wisdom. Not to always come up with my own plans. There's nothing wrong with having the plans, but let's run them by the Lord. Let's ask our Savior, having the faith that, you know what? He will answer our prayer, but also not just possessing faith, but professing faith. In Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know why some people don't pray? They don't believe God will hear them and answer their prayers. I've talked to people who said, well, you pray for me because I don't think God will listen to me. If you're one of his children, he most certainly will listen. Again, that would be like me being a father and having a child that thinks they can't talk to me. You know what? That would bother me. That would bother any parent who loves their children, that if they knew they had a child that felt like they couldn't come to them for anything, that would grieve the loving parent. You know what? It bothers God when his children won't come to him and think that, well, God won't, you know, God's not going to listen to me. And usually that thought comes when maybe we've done something wrong, where maybe we didn't go to the Lord first, and whatever we did, whatever decision turned out bad, and, you know, the Holy Spirit's trying to help us to, hey, you know what, you should have talked to the Lord, and then the devil's right there, yeah, well, you can't talk to him now, right? Because again, the devil is the enemy of your relationship and my relationship with God. He doesn't want us talking to God, doesn't want us hearing from God, doesn't want us trusting God, doesn't want us to have faith, doesn't even want us to believe that God will forgive us if we say, Lord, I should have went to you first and I didn't. But I'm so glad that you're faithful to your word and that you said in your word that if I would ask for forgiveness, you would forgive me and you would cleanse me of the unrighteousness so that I could be back in fellowship with you. Again, having that faith that, you know what, I messed up, but I know that God loves me. I know as a Heavenly Father, a loving Heavenly Father, I can go to Him, make things right, and God will still help me with what I need help with. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Do you know those words Jesus spoke? But the greatest thing about those words, it's not just about what we can get from God, what we need, but to me, those words speak of our relationship with God. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. Because who are you asking, who are you seeking, and who are you knocking at? It should be your Lord and Savior. It should be God Almighty. Last thing I want you to think about, though, is that we have to be prepared in our motives. Being committed to prayer by having prepared motives, right motives, all right? In James chapter 4, if you want to turn there. In James chapter 4, in verse number 3, having the proper motive. Because if we don't have the proper motive, and then when God doesn't answer the prayer, or it just seems like take for a long time, and because we're not getting an answer to the prayer, we just assume, well, God's not going to answer it. You know, we have the potential, the danger of getting mad at God. As I have seen and heard, many people get mad at God because he didn't answer their prayer, but their motive was wrong. Their motive was not proper. In James chapter 4, you look at verse 3. We're told, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye ask and receive not. If we're not receiving an answer to prayer, it might be because we're asking for the wrong reason. There's a wrong motive behind why we're asking. In Matthew 6:10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's a proper motive. God, I have this request, but I really want thy will to be done. One of the greatest requests that anybody ever asked was Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, the cup of suffering that he was about to endure. Jesus asked, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will. Thy will be done. He gives the greatest example that, you know what? Jesus allowed himself to suffer the anguish of what he knew he was going to face. He knew what he was going to face. He knew the torment he was going to have to endure. And he still utters the words, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thy will be done. You know what? That's a hard thing for us to say. God, not my will, but your will, because you know what? That might entail some suffering. That might entail some hardship. That might entail of, you know what? Not being financially well off. You know, whatever the prayer quest is, but still having faith and being committed to that relationship with God, that you know what? God knows what's best. Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. Amy says, those that ask, those that seek, and those that knock, they'll receive it. But you know what? Even Paul talked about prayer where, you know what? We're to pray, faith, believing, and at the same time, don't expect anything. That's like, what? I'm supposed to pray in faith, believing, but then at the same time, don't expect anything? Yeah, because you know what? What happens when our expectations are so high and then we're disappointed because our expectation wasn't met? Well, we get disappointed and then we don't even try again. There is a balance. And when you're committed to prayer with God, you can really have that attitude and that heart that, you know what? You pour out your heart to the Lord, you know He's going to answer it. And if He doesn't answer it, then it must be His will. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. A great faith. We're not bowing down. We're not bowing down to your statue, Nebuchadnezzar, because our God is able to deliver us out of your hand and out of the fiery furnace. But if He doesn't, we're still not bowing. That's the type of faith that God desires us to have, that we know He can, but if He decides not to, we're still going to serve Him. We're still going to follow Him. We're still going to pour our hearts out to Him. We're still going to come to Him seeking help. We're still going to, by faith, Lord, I know that You can do this, but I want Your will to be done. That's something that doesn't come natural. It comes through experience. It comes through experience of learning, you know what? God is faithful, and God knows what's best. I mean, look, when you have a child having to go through chemotherapy, and before that you had children that had to have kidney operations as little babies, and being the father of those babies, having to carry the baby into the operating room, hold the baby while they put the mask up to their nose to knock them out, and then lay the child down on the operating room table and walk out, just trusting that God will take care of it. And guess what? I'm still not perfect in my faith to this day, even though I went through it four times, four different children that I had to carry into an operating room, believing they'd be fine, and they were. Not putting my faith in the doctor, putting my faith in the one that can guide the doctor, right? But guess what? Your faith still gets tested, even though you've seen what God can do, and you've seen where God has strengthened your faith and strengthened your heart in trusting Him, it still gets tested. Because we're not robots. We're not programmed to just have complete faith unwavering. Our faith wavers at different times. But hopefully when your faith wavers, you come back just, Jesus' faith didn't waver, but again, He said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Lord, I really don't want to go through this. Lord, I don't know the answer to this. But Lord, I've learned and I've seen where You've been faithful to me. And Lord, I just have to trust that whatever Your will is, it's perfect for this moment of my life. That's truly being prepared with the proper motives, with the right heart, the right attitude. In Psalm chapter 9, verse 10, last verse, "And they that know Thy name will put their trust in Thee, for Thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek Thee." God's never forsaken His children. He never has. And that is why we can commit ourselves wholeheartedly to prayer, is because we know our God has never forsaken us. He's never let us down. His will has always been perfect. We just have to keep committing ourselves to prayer, to the one we know hears our prayer, the one who knows what's heavy upon our heart, what's occupying our thoughts. we just know that God's will be done, and I just have to fully trust it, even though I can. You know what? I can even say, Lord, this is going on. I think this would be the answer to it, Lord, the way I see it. But, Lord, I know that your will is perfect. You know what? Sometimes it will turn out the way you thought. You know, God, this is what I need. But then other times it's something completely different, because God knows what we need for every situation of life that we face. Again, let's just end with this question that each of us need to answer on our own. Are we committed to prayer? Are we committed to prayer?